What would we do if we couldn't hope for the things that we do not yet have? How would we deal with some of the darkest moments of our lives? How would we deal with the suffering and the sorrow of losing a loved one in death? If we did not live in the hope that they are with God and embraced by God and cared for by God in His kingdom, and that one day we have the opportunity to be with them again, that's a hope that we have in Christ Jesus. What would it be like to suffer with some illness or some disease, to not hold on to the hope that there might be a cure, even when there's none in sight, to hope that there is a scientist working somewhere hard to find a cure to an incurable disease? In this congregation that are old enough to remember Danny Thomas, who really made Mount Sinai Hospital popular, and we remember that hospital, and his daughter Marlo Thomas still goes on with that tradition, because here was a man who had the hope that there were no incurable diseases, there were only diseases for which we had not yet found a cure. We have a whole industry in our world today built on that hope. Now, I have to admit, some of that's probably motivated by money and greed. But I don't believe people stay in a laboratory day in and day out, month after month, year after year, unless they have a hope in them. There's a reasonable expectation that they're going to find the answer, and thank God for those people. Because many of the diseases that we're treating today, 100 years ago, we didn't dream there would be cures. And in some of our minds, it was a dream. It wasn't even a hope. It was just a dream. We can have hope in the things that we do not yet possess because there's a reasonable belief that we can have them in the future. St. John of the Cross of centuries past talked about the dark night of the soul, a spiritual anguishing, a time in our lives where we don't seem to see the light that's around us. It's there, but we don't see it. That spiritually and mentally we crawl into a negative world. And it's a dark world. And the steps always lead deeper down, deeper into darkness. And we can be overwhelmed with depression and frustration and anxiety. What do we do when we face those kinds of days? Or weeks, or for some people, months, unless there is hope that God can deliver us from these kinds of things. That's what this candle represents this morning. Paul tells us that all that we have received in Scripture was given to us so that we could have hope in those dark moments, in those difficult times, in those situations that seem to overwhelm us and suggest that we might be defeated, that we're not defeated. And that we can believe that, and we can hope for something better, and we can long for something more in our lives. And yet, hope is even better than that. It's not just for our dark moments. It's a hope to make our good moments even better. That's what our God wants for us. That's the image that St. Paul is talking about. He's talking about the hope of the church. The hope of the church that brings harmony. You know, Christmas time is a special time of year to all of us, and we have things that make that special to us. And I really thought about playing this, but I figured I'd mess up the machine and we wouldn't be able to do the other stuff. Because a surprise to me when I got this machine was that it had my favorite song on it. It's Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. I love that. You know, there's just something about being at a parade or a football game and hearing a big band get out on the field and you see all of these people and they start playing a song. There's something thrilling about that. The harmony that all of those people and all of those instruments can make. And I guess the thing I like about the Hallelujah Chorus is that you're in a big church and there's this wonderful pipe organ with just hundreds of pipes, and there's a big orchestra there with all of these musicians and all of these different instruments. And there's a choir of 40, 50, 100, or sometimes in Raleigh, they gather in a big church with an orchestra and organ, and the congregation is the choir. Everybody brings their music, and they have a Messiah singing. I've always wanted to go to one of those things. But the thrill of the harmony that hope makes, that when we see an orchestra, when we see a band, we can have hope that we're going to experience a harmony that amazes us. And Paul says, when we look at the church, we ought to expect that kind of harmony in the church. We ought to have the reasonable hope and expectation that we can have a harmony that sings out the love of God. Not just for us here in church enjoying it, but to the whole world. It gives hope to the world. And that passage Laurie read from Isaiah, did you really listen to it? Oh, that's such a favorite. It's an amazing expectation. It's a promise of God, so I know it's going to come true. I can have that hope. But to picture the natural enemies in nature laying side by side, walking side by side. Normally, they'd be killing. One would be killing the other for food, and yet they'll lay side by side. They'll walk side by side. The lion will eat straw just like the oxen. A little child can crawl over the hole of a cobra or a poisonous snake, and it won't bite them. Hope's harmony. That God's hope for the world is so great, so immense, that when He comes again, everything is going to be perfect. Everything that has been destroyed by sin and selfishness and greed and hostility and our narrow-mindedness will be wiped away, and it'll seem like a miracle to us if we're still here at His coming. And since we know not the hour of the time, we may live to see that glorious day. And even if we don't, we can have the hope that it's going to happen because it is a promise of our God. Hope's harmony to bring peace in our lives when life is confusing, painful, frustrating, and seems to be falling apart. We can have hope because Jesus came and Jesus will come again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's so much that can divide us in the life of the church. But God's message and hope is, don't let that push the harmony away. because this world needs to hear about hope. They need to see it demonstrated in Christ's churches. There's a world out there longing for that miraculous time that Isaiah talks about. There are soldiers in Afghanistan and Bosnia and places around the world that are hoping they don't have to go around the world to fight injustice anymore. We can have that hope. We can live it in our lives. We can live it in our church. And hope's harmony can send a song to the world. But we have to sing it. We have to believe it. We have to hold on to it. We have to let it burn brightly in our lives based on the promises of God. We can have hope's harmony in our lives, in our church, and in our world if you will be that hope for yourself and for someone else. That's my desire for our church and for this season. That we're able to look out at the world, even in troubling situations, and somehow see hope's harmony singing like the angels sang when Jesus was born. You're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to listen hard sometimes to hear the song of hope. But as long as you believe, you can hear it under the turmoil, through the pain, in the darkness. There's hope. There's always hope. Because Jesus lives. Let us pray. Oh Father, how our world needs great hope. Not just individual hope, but the harmony of the hope that is in Christ Jesus, binding believers together throughout the world, that the world can see the light of Christ in us. They can believe there is hope for the world. They can believe that one day the lion will lie down with the lamb, and there will be an amazing peace on earth. We long for that, Father. It's not just a wish. It's not some fanciful dream. For we know it is your promise to us, so we can live forever in hope, expecting it to happen, even when the evidence is not there before us. We can believe, because hope's harmony sings a song in our hearts and draws us ever closer to you, Father. We ask your blessings upon us to well up that hope in our lives, in our church, and in our community. In the name of Jesus, amen.